Hello and welcome to another episode of the Auto Trader Podcast. My name is Wandile Sishi.
And I'm George Mini.
And we're back for a super interesting episode. It's kind of a build up from last week. But George, what essentially are we talking about today?
So we are talking about, we're calling the show's name Stealth Mode. Yeah. I don't know if it's Stealth Mode really. I mean, I've been watching.
It doesn't get stealthier though.
I've been watching the series, which, you know, I've only get to watch like one episode a week.
Yeah.
I wish I was a binge watcher, but I'm not.
Yeah.
The series called The Peripheral. I don't know if you've seen it.
I haven't. Netflix.
It's Amazon Prime. It's one of the biggest shows in South Africa at the moment, called The Peripheral. And one of the scenes in The Peripheral is there's this cloaked car.
Yeah.
That you can't see,
like,
but
Michael
it's there. Michael Knight. I don't think from
Knight Rider. I'm not sure if he had. Like,
was Knight Rider ever cloaked? Like you can't see it.
I mean, he had stuff. He had like stealth stuff.
Yeah, I don't know.
From the 70s,
the 1980s. So this is cloaked car. So stealth mode kind of like makes me think. You know, is that eye pace? Okay, is it really there, stealth mode? But anyway, we're calling the show Stealth Mode, but really it's the armored show, and we're very, very, very fortunate to be joined by Michael Broom from Armor Max. Did I say that right, Michael?
Correct, 100%.
And I'll give Michael a chance to introduce himself better than I could ever introduce him. But we also have the presence of a Jaguar I-Pace in the studio.
Yeah, I think it's the first EV that's armored.
I believe the first EV in the world.
No. So first EV in South Africa, first I-Pace globally.
Okay.
The only other EV that we know of that's armored is a Tesla in the States.
Okay. Well, I mean, Tesla.
Yeah.
Tesla always do things first. Why?
That's kind of their vibe. But you know.
I think this has got better build quality than Tesla. Have you been in a Tesla?
Never.
Mm-mm. To be fair, it's still South African, right?
I've driven both.
Can you claim the fact that Tesla's, you know.
No, I'll only accept Elon Musk as South African when he actually says he's South African.
Fair enough.
Until then, he's not South African.
Well, we'll do a bid and see if we can win that bid too.
I've tweeted him multiple times. Doesn't tweet me back.
He might be busy.
Running three companies and all, and you know, now owning Twitter. My personal opinion is that I-Pace has got a better build quality than the Tesla. And that's just because I've been in and driven both, and I currently drive an I-Pace. So I'm not at all biased. This is another beautiful I-Pace. And from the outside, you really have to battle to see that this is an armored car.
And well, you can't see it at all. I mean, to the untrained eye, I think that's kind of the plus here, is to make sure that you can't see what it is. Moving on. So the last thing we're going to talk about is obviously unpacking armored cars, because we have seen on the site that they are becoming extremely popular. And last week we did an interesting show where we spoke about basically if crime pays and new trends that we've seen. And that's when you actually mentioned the I-Pace. So that's kind of why we're kicking this off, is as a build up from last week, and to inform people of the options that they have.
Well, before we get into that, Michael, we've got a couple of quick fire questions for you. Mm-hmm. And if you could kind of like answer them without giving too much thought.
Okay.
What was your most interesting job you've ever had?
So probably this one.
Probably this one, I would say.
I can imagine.
You get to shoot cars.
We also shoot cars, but it's a different kind of shoot.
Book or movie?
Movie,
all right. In terms of vacation, bush or beach?
Beach.
When did you get into armored vehicle business, the armored vehicle business?
About 7 years ago.
7 years ago, okay. Yeah. In terms of car, internal combustion, battery electric or hybrid?
You're not going to like this. Internal combustion.
Ooh, must be V8. No.
I'm more of a straight six guy.
Straight six, interesting. Yeah,
there's
okay.
a Bavarian brand linked to that. But
must like BMW.
I won't tell you what it was.
Straight six. Sounds like BMW,
it sounds like BMW,
maybe,
yeah.
You know, M3, the older
there
version.
There we go. Getting warmer.
Getting warmer. What was your first car?
A Ford Laser. But a 1600 Sport.
I haven't heard the word Ford Laser in years. Remember those bloody cars. What is your current car?
Defender. Yeah,
Land Rover, Defender. Armored?
Not yet.
Not
January.
Yet.
Yeah,
okay.
It's a development project. So
interesting.
The next one.
I think maybe the best thing to do is just to get straight into it, Michael. I think maybe if you can just tell us what is armoring a car, what is an armored car, And some of the work that you guys do at Armored Max, just to give people a little bit of an understanding of the concept of armored vehicles.
Sure. So basically what an armored car does is it's a last line of defense, if I put it that way, when every other method has failed.
Yeah.
And we're talking about attacks on cars like hijacking, kidnapping, smash and grabs, bricks being thrown off bridges and so forth. So we'll always tell people, be alert, be aware of your surroundings, get off your phone while you're driving, as you've said before, use the defensive driving techniques. But at some point, all of that runs out, and perhaps a bit of luck runs out. And this gives you an opportunity to be safe in an attack and be able to get away with your life. So we don't give you something like a tank to go to war with. We're just giving you an opportunity to be protected and safe. And the way we do it, as George says, we do it as discreetly as possible. So it's not flashy. It doesn't draw attention. It's supposed to look like every other car on the road. So if I put that I-Pace next to George's I-Pace, you wouldn't be able to tell me which one is armored, aside from the fact that his is bright red. So that's the concept. In terms of what we do, we're very focused on the luxury side of the market. So we don't really get involved with cash and transit and security vehicles and that sort of thing. So
those are a little bit more, or less aesthetic. Yeah, it's less aesthetically pleasing.
Correct.
You know, and you've got, you know, you've got literally, you can't open the window and the and this glass is like glued onto that window. Correct, or maybe it's not, but...
Well, it's very obvious. And in a security environment, that is necessary. So you do want to intimidate a would-be attacker and let them know that they've got very little chance of success. You know, generally where an armored car has been attacked, the attacker doesn't know it's armored and they get a bigger surprise than the person inside the car. But that said, you know, we're often asked, well, who do we sell to? Who do we build cars for? And people often say, well, I'm not a crook or I'm not wanted, I'm not high profile, so I don't need an armored car. That's absolute rubbish. By and large, the people we deal with are looking to protect life and assets. Their loved ones, etc. So I'd say more than 50% are people that can afford to leave South Africa, want to leave South Africa, but choose to stay.
Okay.
So this just allows them to enjoy the wonderful South African lifestyle that we have and be safe. You know, we've secured our homes, we've secured our businesses, we live in the estates, we're careful about what we do. Where we're most at risk is on the road, because it's a dynamic environment, you're in a transitionary space, you can't control it, so what do you do? This is the solution.
Do you have any stories for us in terms of previous customers who... this has been a solution that's actually saved their lives?
Oh, so many. The most recent one was a gentleman in a Range Rover that was in a hijacking in Midrand Sunday evening. And the tactics they use these days are quite scary. So not that particular one, but very similar. Boxed in from both sides, had attackers in all four corners.
Wow.
Pointed a gun at him. And he hesitated for a split second. He didn't realize what was going on. Until you're in that situation, you don't know how you react. And they opened fire. And he managed to drive away. He bashed through the car in front of him, and he's still here. What was wonderful is he came to see us the Monday morning. We were called that night right after it happened. So you won't believe it. This is what's happened. And blah, 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 blah. I mean, his car was armored 5 years ago. So you kind of forget about it.
But that's the whole point, right? You want to forget about it.
Exactly. Yeah. You don't want to know it's there until you need it. He came to us on Monday morning. We pulled all the guys out the factory and said, come see what you do every day matters and see it in action and meet the man whose life you saved. Quite a tearful experience, that, actually.
That's like how many people you got working
in
the business?
Factory, just shy of 100.
Okay, so you got 100 people who now... can see the purpose for which they work every day.
Correct.
You know, and I suppose that's not going to happen very often.
It does happen quite a lot. That's the scary part. I was saying to Wendy before the show, you know, at the end of January, we would have built 1,627 vehicles.
Okay, so if you're saying it's happening more and more often.
So of that, 24 that we know of have survived attacks.
Oh, wow.
Okay. So if you put that into statistics of hijacking and versus how many cars are on the road, it's much the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hijacking is just rife.
And would you say that crime is definitely causing, is business growing, essentially, is what I'm asking in terms of...
Well, crime will affect our business.
Yeah.
Much the same as load shedding affects takeaways. It is going to increase. So whenever there's a major incident that's very public, like a CIT or a hijacking video, which there's one daily now, it will spark an inquiry. Someone will get in touch with us. And often that's a catalyst for a customer coming to see us. At very first is something's happened. They're scared. They want to know, what are my options? The family wants to leave. They want to go to Australia, the UK, the States. I don't want to leave. I have businesses. I have people relying on me. What do I do? And that's where they kind of start.
So recently, George, I don't know if you saw the story about a very high profile, I think it was a murder case. It was a DJ. And he was driving, I think it was the new Golf.
GTI.
Correct. Is that something in terms of vehicle types? What's the limitations? Is it, in a scenario where I have a GTI and he was in that scenario, can you arm a GTI, for instance? And
funny you ask. So we, as of this morning, we're finishing off our first Golf 8 GTI.
Okay.
When I say Golf 8, it's not our first Golf. Of the Golf 7 range, we did, I think, 8 examples for one of our bigger dealer customers, which proved very popular. Because it's light.
Yeah,
you can use a small engine. We used a 1.4 for one of the variants we did of the Golf 7, and very popular vehicle. That car would have saved his life.
Oh wow! So what do we have here? I mean, so we've got two pieces of glass.
So that leads us into the different armoring levels, which is always a question that comes up. So primarily, we're involved in a B4 or a B6 level. To explain the B ratings, that's a European rating. It's used globally for what type of round the armoring can withstand, which also depends
which are,
on
which are these little the critters, yeah. Right. Yeah.
So there you've got a 9mm, which is the primary round that's used in any hijacking attack or violent crime in South Africa. That's from an AK.
How many hijackings use AK versus handguns? Do you know?
I couldn't really tell you. I mean, it's
mostly handguns.
From what we see, in the attacks that are happening and in the crime stats that we see. So obviously we've got an inside track, so a lot of things that happen.
Yeah.
More so it's R4 and R5 that are being used.
Okay.
And there's a particular round that's made its way into the country, which is a steel core round.
Yeah.
Which is a very ugly thing. So that other bullet that you've got there with the green tip.
Yeah.
Okay,
so that round will go through most
armor. It's an armor-piercing round.
Armor piercing is not quite the correct description, but it is able to go through some armor. So we've done some upgrades to our B6 armor so that it stops that particular round. So that's more cash in transit, those sorts of things, or where there's a hit.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, that is a reality of South Africa too. We find those rounds. So AK is not really the scariest thing that we deal with. There is a prevalence of them as well. So like I was saying to Wendy, you know, if you're trying to predict against hijacking, general crime and so forth, the B4 is more than enough because it's a handgun. It can be concealed. You can't see it. They can surprise you.
Yes.
And if someone's walking between cars with an R5 in their hand, it's kind of giving the game away. With a handgun, you see it at the last second.
Yes.
Yeah.
So you don't necessarily need a B6 if you're trying to protect against that, which is the majority of what we do. So you do need a B6, and that's the big piece of glass that's in front of you.
Okay.
That goes to 42 millimeters thick.
Wow.
So that's in a case of high profile. This is guys that are being targeted.
That's heavy.
It is.
So this eyepiece is B4.
That's a B4.
Which is this thickness of
21
of
millimeter glass.
Yeah. Will they still go down, and it's not like you're in a cage or anything?
Yeah.
So this is this piece of glass is... Is it normal glass or is it a treated glass? You know, what's the difference here besides the thickness itself?
Okay,
so I mean, you can go thick and then it'll get stronger, but...
Well, yeah, so it's ballistic glass. So the way it's basically made is very different and it's built in layers. So you'll see if you look at it from a side profile, you've got different layers of glass and in between them is a bonding or a laminate.
Okay.
So that all together is what makes it...
So
bulletproof.
Yeah.
So the way it works is as a round hits the surface, it's supposed to dissipate energy. So it's absorbing impact. Same as a crumple zone would in a car.
Yeah.
So you're not stopping it. It's impossible to stop. You can't stop energy. You can only transfer it.
Yeah. So I suppose it's a similar principle to if you hang a very loose sheet And you shoot at it. Mm. Quite often, the sheet will slow the bullet down enough to.
Correct. And you won't have a hole.
You won't have a hole in
similar
it.
Similar in concept, but we're basically just stopping energy. So the glass just cracks and cracks and cracks and cracks.
And how many rounds can it take? Would you say before it's you
so
know.
To be graded as a B4, it needs to take 3 rounds in a 120mm nucleus.
Okay,
120mm. So that's probably
a little bit smaller than that.
About that.
Yeah.
Oh, a little bit smaller than that. Yeah. Okay. So you've got this little circle, and you have to shoot 3 rounds in that circle
with no penetration.
Yeah, you need to be quite a crack shot to get three rounds.
And our hijackers aren't on the shooting ranges every weekend practicing. So
if you exactly if you do, you know, very dispersed shots,
you could do a lot.
You could do more than three.
Absolutely.
And it will not get through the glass.
In practice, we've seen 7, 8 more rounds. We've seen clips emptied. Mm. Which is anything between 9 and 15 rounds in a 9mm.
And in many instances, those guns, they malfunction.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In terms of the cabin, how much of the car is bulletproof or armored?
So we do the whole cabin. The idea is to create a cocoon around you, and we don't want any ballistic gaps.
Yeah.
And as I say, you're not always dealing with professionals. So it's a spray and pray type of attack. Or when you move away, they're still firing, etc. So you don't need a round that comes through your B pillar or underneath by your door, etc. So we armor everything.
Yeah.
We often get requests to armor just a driver's window or a windscreen. We don't do it on principle. Mm. The principle is the same as if you're installing security in your home. You won't put burglar bars on all windows but one.
Yes. So
it's either secure, it's not.
Chain is as bad as its weakest link, right?
So exactly that. Yeah. So the doors are done. Every pillar is done. There's a number of overlap areas that we use as well. You can armor the roof. When we go up to a B6 level, that's quite more complicated. There we use a lot more ballistic steel as opposed to the lightweight stuff. Then we do the firewall. We do underneath the car for grenade attacks. The roof has to be done.
Yeah.
We build a partition behind the back seats in SUVs, which is generally what we armor in a B6. Run flat tires are installed. We put a push-to-talk intercom system in, so that you can talk to somebody outside the car without having to wind down your window. The sky's the limit. There are many other things that we can do, have been requested to do.
Yeah.
Fire suppression systems, internal oxygen systems, all of those sorts of things. Yes, the shocking door handles, people have asked us for that too. It's never a great idea.
I think it's out there. There was a guy who put a flamethrower.
That was in the 1980s, I think.
1990s. Yeah, he's still got burn wounds from that. So just tell you how effective that was.
So cost of. I mean, this is a B4 graded armored vehicle. Is that the right term? Graded.
B4
grade certified armored vehicle. So you know, in for all intents and purposes, it will give you enough time to get off the scene of the crime.
Correct.
Effect. And that's all you need is, you know, if anybody is getting more than 1 or 2 rounds fired at the car at close range, then you haven't pushed the accelerator fast enough and you've kind of like gone frozen, which some people happen to. Mm. So, you know, so you've got a little bit more protection than just one shot at you, but then you've got the opportunity to get away.
Correct.
And I suppose the nice thing about an EV is that you can't stall it. So, you know, you put your foot on the gas and it's gone.
Yeah, exactly that. And if, for example, you know, like people think that if you shoot the engine, the car stops immediately. In practical terms, it doesn't. But if you shoot at the engine bay in an EV, you might take out the starter battery or something else. But I think, to be honest, just from the response we've had from this car, EV and armored cars, two trends that have finally met, I think it's going to continue to grow.
So what is the cost of doing what we see standing in the studio?
So for this level car, from about 700,000, when we go up to B6, that starts at 1.3 million, goes up to about 1.7 for most SUVs. And then if there's bespoke work that we need to do in a car, which we have done before, then again, sky's the limit. You know, our team are professional fabricators. We use the word bespoke a lot because every single car we build is different and presents a new challenge. This one in particular was quite challenging. So it's expensive. We make no mistake about that. If you come and visit our offices, for example, you'll see there's nothing flashy about us. We don't have big fish ponds and waterfalls and big screens. And what you pay for is going into your car.
Yeah.
And the reason it's expensive is the materials that we use. So we have a no-compromise approach. So it's the best of what's available globally, or it's nothing. Mm. So we source, for example, our glass comes from South America, which is the capital of armored cars.
I wonder why.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah.
Yeah, what's there? Our lightweight armoring, the Aramid, comes from the States. Our ballistic steel comes from Sweden or Switzerland. I can never remember. And I always think they're the same country. that's the one side of it, is the material cost, and then the labor that goes into it, the skill that goes into it to be able to pull a car apart and then make it bulletproof and put it back together and work.
That and still be aesthetically the same as what you got it out of the showroom, because that's what you guys aim for, right? So how long does it take to do this?
So for a B4, about 20 working days.
Okay.
And a B6, 55 working days. But that's an estimate. You know, we build cars to a standard, not a date. So you get your car back when we're happy with it.
Okay.
Yeah.
When we, one, certify that it's safe, and two, certify that it's met our expectations, which are very high, then we hand the car over to the customer.
Let's talk about maybe insurance and financing, since we're on the topic of costs. So is there facilities to kind of get financing for this? Do you guys do internal financing, for instance, anything like that?
Unfortunately not. So the banks, in terms of traditional finance, will finance a vehicle based on equity.
Okay.
So it's, if you default, what can I get back for it so that the bank's not at risk? So they don't see the full value in the armoring package. They feel that the car devalues, which...
Is that true, though?
In truth, is absolutely not true.
You know, I mean, we've got one big customer, which is a customer of Auto Trader, and who really kind of does this as a, I don't know if it's a hobby or purposeful, but in your experience with them, because they're obviously also a customer of yours, is that true, or does the car actually appreciate?
Car does appreciate, and quite significantly, and quite. Well down the road. So in terms of future resale, because the market is growing the way it is and the demand is growing, we've seen so many anecdotal evidence of cars being sold for the same as the original price or more. Because obviously the cost of component goes up with the exchange rate, et cetera, et cetera. So the model is much the same as a normal car market, where the new car is getting more expensive. The used car holds its value.
Yes.
Where the new car is not available in supply, the used car goes up in value, et cetera.
Exactly,
we've seen...
Yeah, all of those it applies, you know, economic models
to,
work.
To armored cars. The issue is, as I said, the banks don't see the value in terms of risk. I think that will change because globally that does happen. In Canada, you can finance an armored car. In most of South America, you can. In the States, you can.
Well, I think in South Africa they're still judging a car like this in terms of its base model without the armoring, and it's just
they'll finance
true.
The car,
yeah.
No problem. But what they're saying is, if you default, they're at 100% risk for the armoring, which isn't true.
Isn't true.
But they hold the money, they make the rules. Mm. So that will change with time.
So this I-Pace, the HSC, I know it's 2.2 million rand. That's what one of those cost right now, which is, you're adding 750,000 rand to the car, which is about a 30% increase in the value. And I'm pretty sure that, I mean, what is the value of the car that you armor the most? Is it in the 2 million rand range? Is it the 1 million rand cars? Or, you know, what are the average values of the cars you armor?
It's quite varied, but if I had to... Yes, on a price tag, I would say between 1.5 and 2 million.
Okay, so the 20 to 30% additional cost on the car is really what a consumer is looking at, in terms of the market that you currently service, and then that pushes the cost of this car to 2.8 million, roughly. I think if you can afford a 2 million rand car, 750,000 rand to save your life.
Yeah.
Is probably worth it.
I mean, you're telling us a story about a scenario where someone was attacked twice, the same vehicle. Mm. So, you know, I think on that point, I think it's definitely worth it.
Definitely. So before we end this, the other little things, lying around you, I can't reach them now, Wendy, but what are these?
So that, what you're holding there, Wendy, is the lightweight armor we use in the B6. So that will go into the doors. So we try and save as much weight
that's very light.
As possible.
So what is this made of?
So that's a ultra-high molecular weight polyethylene.
Oh, wow.
And that's got a ceramic strike face on it as well. So to give you an idea, the strike face that we use, if we use a hardness scale of 10, where diamond is 10, that would be a 9.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay. And this is man-made, manufactured?
Yes. Okay, highly compressed, heated up.
Yeah.
And then we can apply it in 10 bits into the doors, etc.
Okay. And what am I looking at? Yeah.
So that is ballistic steel. That's what we use in our builds.
Is this in that
B6?
Car?
No. So there's no steel in that car.
Okay.
So when you go up to a B6, because of what you're trying to stop,
okay,
and the massive difference in energy between a rifle round and a handgun round,
okay,
you do need to use a lot more stronger stuff.
Stronger stuff. Okay, what is this?
So that is our B4 armor. So you can feel it's light, you can twist it. So yes, we can apply it very easily to all panels. And that's the big weight saving that we can now B4. So
what is this made of?
So that is an aramid substance. So it's basically in concept similar to Kevlar.
Yeah.
It's just a little bit stronger. It's got a higher weave pattern. Same thing. It's layered, compressed, bonded, and then applied into the panels.
I have two final questions before you leave.
And then, before we go, there's a thicker version of the steel.
Is the traditional ballistic steel, which is what used to protect what you just held in your hand. Feel the difference in the weight.
Wow.
I can't reach it there once.
So wait, when you say traditional, do you mean before the...
Oh, wow. So this has replaced by this.
What the big four manufacturers that build their own armored cars use.
Yeah.
Versus what we use.
And this stops the same.
Wow.
And I mean, that's
in terms of weight, yeah.
That's really significant.
So we knew you're coming, so we had to ask around, like, what do you want to know from someone who armors a car? And one of the things is, how do you know you're not selling an armored vehicle, for instance, to someone who is on the opposite end of the spectrum?
Nice question.
That's a very good question. We don't. So, you know, a criminal can take the form of somebody who runs a gang or who's stealing money from his own company.
You're talking about a getaway car.
So
exactly that.
Well, do they rob banks nowadays?
You don't, but it's, you know, a lot of our customers, if I can put them in a basket, are entrepreneurs. They own their own businesses. They're protecting their families.
Yeah.
They're not dodgy guys. They're people like you and me. They have the means. They can afford it. You want to protect life. It makes absolute sense to do it, like you said.
Yeah. Okay. And the last one is in a scenario where I've rolled my car and I'm stuck inside of it and now I'm just a sitting duck. What if the criminals go away now and then the jaws of life needs to be used to apply to kind of take me out? Is that something that is not kind of a barrier?
Not at all. So any of the extraction equipment they use can still be used on the glass or the armor. So it's designed to stop bullets. It's not designed
dissipate
to do
energy.
Anything else really. Okay. So if I can give you another analogy, you guys are both F1 fans. So if you look at suspension of an F1 car, it works brilliantly up and down. But if you hit it on the side, it crumbles.
Mm. True.
So it all has its fallibilities, but it's for what it's designed to do, it does. Yeah.
Okay. So you won't be like stuck in the end.
No.
It's been absolutely fascinating to have you here, Michael. Anything we've left out that you think is important for the public to know about armored vehicles?
You know, sadly, you know, our passion is saving lives. We are petrol heads at our core, but that's
straight
that is,
6 BMW.
Exactly. You picked it up. Sadly, we can't help everyone because of what it costs. So, you know, we do spend a lot of time educating people on being aware and so forth. And you know, they say prevention is better than cure. Awareness is a simple thing you need to have both in your homes, in your cars, wherever you are.
Do you think the technology is going to reach a point where the cost of doing this is going to come down? Materials are going to become cheaper?
It's very much exchange rate based. So, you know, if you're in the States, it's obviously a lot cheaper for you.
Yes.
Or in South America and so forth. So it depends what the rand does, really. Okay. But no, it's not sort of, you know, electronic technology does that.
Yes.
This stuff is expensive to source, to make.
I suppose it's heavy to bring across the oceans. You know, it's heavy materials, except for this stuff. I mean,
all of our stuff gets flown in.
Okay. Well, I mean, you bring across the air anyway, but it's still weight dependent. You know, you've got to bring
it
in containers.
Exactly. So now I don't think it will get cheaper. There are cheaper options that don't do the job. So that's also something we deal with all the time is don't shop on price, shop on result.
Mm. Yeah.
Come and see us if you're in the market for wanting to armor a car, and we'll explain everything to you. We've had half an hour. I can carry on for hours. but it's intricate and there's a solution for everybody.
Well, that's pretty much all the time we have for. But if you want some more information with regards to the cars that Armax has, we do have some of the vehicles on site. We'll leave a description to you.
Put all the links in the description below. Like and subscribe.
Thank you so much, Michael.
Pleasure, guys. Thanks, Michael.
It's been a pleasure.
Search Auto Trader.